Okay, good morning, everyone. And a guten chodesh should be a gebenchte chodesh for all of Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people. We should have big, big miracles. As everybody can sense and everybody can feel that we're mahalchen ot, we're holding mamish over there. Now we just have to push through. It's like the woman going to have the baby. It's a final push. And we're going to have a big mazel tov any moment with the big, big, big shayfish shel Mashiach and the coming of Mashiach made happen right now. And we were yoytzer already chevle Mashiach more than enough. Okay. So here's our Mashiach and Geula class, and we are holding by the story of the Brisbane Absarim, and we're concluding it. And today, so right at the end of the Brisbane Absarim, this is in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. So it says over there as follows. Last week we spoke about what it means when he says V'dor HaRevi, the fourth generation, Yeshuvu Hena, referring to the generation of Mashiach. And all the way at the conclusion, Bayomahu, on that day, Kadas Hashem es Avram, Hashem made a covenant with Avram Bris. Kadas Hashem es Avram Bris, Hashem sealed a deal, a covenant, with Avram Lamer saying, Lezaracha, to your descendants, Nasati Sa'aretz Azois, I have given this land. Minahar Mitzrayim, from the land of Egypt, Ad Nahar Agadol, to the great land, Nahar Paras, the river of Paras. Esakeni, Esaknizi, the Esakadmoini. I will give him the Keni, I will give him the Knizi, and the Kadmoni. Which are these lands, the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni? So, the Mefarshim will say that these three lands are in addition to the seven lands, as we're going to see soon. The next pasuk is going to mention the lands that we are more familiar with. Esachiti, Vesaprizi, Vesarefaim. Refaim is a substitution for another land, hold on. Esamoiri, Esaknani, Vesagirgashi, Vesayavusi. So these are the seven nations that we're used to. However, the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni are three other nations. So Keni is referring to the Ammonites, the land of Ammon. Lot has two children, Ammon and Moab. So Keni is Ammon, and Knizi is Moab. That's what the Mefarshim say. And finally, Kadmoni is Edom, which is Esav. So the sons of Lot and the sons of Esav are all part of this promise of the land that Hashem is going to give, the land of ten. Okay. So first, just for a moment, over here it says that Hashem made a covenant with Avram to give him the land. We had already in the beginning of the parasha, at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, we also have a promise on the land. Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, me'ladetcha, ela aretz asher areka, the land that I will show you. Avram leaves Mesopotamia, he comes up to Eretz Yisrael, and he's 75 years old at that time. And then when he finally arrives at the land, Hashem appears himself to him. To your descendants I will give this land. And Avram builds a Mizbeach. So we have a promise on the land. And here we have another time a promise on the land. In the end of the parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, at the conclusion of the parsha, there is the mitzvah of the Bris Milah. Hashem commands Avram to have a Bris Milah. And then, over there, Vakimoisi es brisi, and I have this is in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Vakimoisi es brisi, and I have established my covenant beni benecha, between me and you, ben zaracha chrecha, between your children, l'deraisam, for all future generations, of this olam, for everlasting covenant. And then it says, v'nasata l'cha l'zaracha chrecha, I will give to you and to your children after you as eretz megurecha, the land where you're living. It's kol eretz Canaan l'chuzas olam, the entire land of Canaan for eternal inheritance. Three times in Parshas Lech Lecha, there is a promise that Hashem is going to give the land. Now let's just see when these things took place. The Torah is not in chronological order. The Brisbane Absarim, according stated in many places, the story that we're reading right now at the Brisbane Absarim is the first conversation Hashem had with Avram Avinu about the land. Because the Brisbane Absarim happened before Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is when Avram Avinu is 75 years old. The story of the Brisbane Absarim took place when Avram is 70 years old. The Mefarshim all say that. That this happened 5 years before. This was a nevuah that Avram Avinu had 5 years before Lech Lecha. And there is all kinds of proofs from it. Because it says, and I remember what it was. It says that the Yidden were in, later it says in Mitzray, in Parsha Shum, in one of the Parshas in Shemais, I think, it says that the Jewish people lived in Egypt for 430 years. And the calculation of 430 years doesn't match. When do you have, because we know the Yidden actually being in Mitzrayim were only 210 years. So we say that we really begin when Yitzchak was born. But when Yitzchak was born, it's not 430 years, it's 400 years. From Yitzchak was born until Yitzchak Mitzrayim was 400 years. What's the extra 30 years? So we say, from when Hashem had made this promise, from when Hashem told him your children are going to be in exile, that was 30 years old earlier. Now, Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. Go rewind, 30 years is when Avram is 70. The Brisbane Absarim happened when Avram was 70. Lech Lecha happens clearly when Avram is 75. It's stated beferish in the Pasuk. So the order of these promises were, promise number one was Brisbane Absarim. Some say that actually Avram Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael during that time because he came initially the first time, then he went back home to his father. Then Hashem told him to go Lech Lecha, go a second time. I forgot already who says that, but because the Nevuah happened when he was in Eretz Yisrael. Let me see, because I think actually, it makes sense, because it says, to your children I will give this land. So Avram had to be in the land if Hashem is telling him this land. But Al Kol Panim, we have over here three promises. So the Shlach HaKadosh points out something really very special. And he says there are three times that Hashem promises the land to Avram Avinu, because the giving of the land to the Jewish people is extremely, extremely fundamental to the entire existence of creation. This is Nazi. What we're experiencing now in Eretz Yisrael, this whole unbelievable, occurrences and tension and suffering of the Jewish people, that's just literally, it's senseless. It doesn't make any sense. The mind can't wrap itself around it after all that the Yidden have been through, after all the suffering, after all the Holocaust of 6 million Jews, and all of that, how much more is necessary, how much more do we have to pay? So it really doesn't make any sense. But when you take into the context that, I'm not justifying it in any way, I'm just saying that this is everything. What's playing out now, with Yidden, we're a little bit abyssal farshlufen, I think, to realize that we're mamish witnessing the Geula Shleima, and what's going on is like the ultimate purpose of all of everything. It's not Stam, another Inyan. And that Yidden should receive Eretz Yisrael. And that's where the Eibishter's kingship is going to manifest. And through that into the entire world. And the Eibishter's and Hashem's enjoyment of Hashem having a Dira Lo Yisbarach, a dwelling place in this world, is going to be fulfilled. So we can understand why this is so tense. Because everything that stands, that Hashem created to be in opposition to it, is fighting its last battle to stand against this happening. And so that's why the Shlach HaKadosh says that the promise of Eretz Yisrael in three times corresponds to the three stages in existence, the three stages of creation. Stage number one is the initial creation, when Hashem initially created the world. And as we know, Hashem created the world in a perfect state. That was the initial creation. Then the world begins, like Hashem leaves go. He lets the creation kind of take its first steps. And when we take our first steps, we mess up. And there is the collapse and there is the fall. So in the middle of all of that comes Hashem, and he puts supports to hold up the world, and that is the time of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is like, so you have the creation kind of struggling with itself, the mistakes that people are making, and like we know Parshas Noach, we bring the world to the brink of total demolition and destruction. Then, you know, from Avram Avinu and Yitzhak and Yaakov, you have seven generations until Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Eibishter kind of comes down and reconnects with his world and sets us right. It's like the child falling off the bicycle and the father coming and putting him back on. And then we learn how to ride. And the first time we fall. So that's the second moment in creation. First, there's the moment when Hashem is tending to the creation when he's creating it. The second time, he comes back to adjust, kind of, and that's when he gave the Torah to the Jewish people. And finally, there is going to be the completion, when everything is completed and everything is in its final state, and that's the coming of Mashiach, and the final implementation of the Kavana and the intention of the creation from which it was to begin with, which is Yemos HaMashiach. These are the three main points in creation. I mentioned it last week too. There's three Shleimus Olam. Shleimus Olam was at the time of creation, at the time of Matan Torah, and the time of Mashiach. Same idea, three times. So corresponding to that, we have three promises of the land, because Yidden being in Eretz Yisrael also are, and like we have, initially, the first promise is the Briz Bein Absarim, he says, is the first one, even though, as we said earlier, technically this happened, the Torah records it as the second time in Parshas Lech Lecha, but really this is, as we said, when Avram is 70. This is when Hashem makes his initial promise to Avram, and he draws an interesting parallel. Just like in the story of creation, at that moment, Hashem already envisions all the challenges and obstacles and difficulties that are going to challenge this creation, Hashem's project, and going to get in the way, and what is going to seem like, chas v'shalom, a failure, and then from within the darkness, from within the mess, will come the healing, will come the rectification. So you see that in the story of creation, at the second pasuk, it says already, which the world was chaotic, it was desolate, and darkness on the face of the deep waters. So Chazal point out that this pasuk is referring to the four gullias. Four gullias. Tayu, Vavayu, Chayshach, Alpenesahayim. Each one of these words, Tayu and Vayu, Chayshach and Tahayim, are referring to the four nations, four empires that are going to dominate the world until the Tikkun HaShalem. So the same is also corresponding to that when the Eibishter gives Avram Avinu the first covenant of the land, which is corresponding to creation. Over here too, we were reading in the earlier classes, in the earlier part, the things that we were learning leading up till now, in the Briz Bein Absarim, the Eibishter showing him all the galiyas, the Ema, Chashecha, fear, darkness, dread, Gedoyla, Nefelas, all that we had spoken earlier. This is a symbol for the and why in a time of happiness when Hashem is creating the world, why are we immediately talking about darkness? Why when Hashem is making a covenant with Avram Avinu, when he's beginning his relationship with the Jewish people, why is he immediately talking about Tzaris, about the four? And the answer is Azoy Azoy Derinyan. This is the way it is. That the Eibishter is showing us that the ultimate good is going to come through a struggle. And it's going to be, in the words of the Shlach HaKadosh, Seiser Amanas Livnais. There's going to be a great demolition. Things are going to have to break down. There's going to be a great destruction. And from the destruction is going to come growth. So that's the first promise, Parshas Lech Lecha. It's interesting. And in this promise of the land, Hashem specifies all ten nations, because that was Hashem's initial intention. Hashem's initial intention is to give the Jewish people the land of ten lands, not just, we'll soon speak about this at length, but the land of 10 nations, not the land of 7 nations. That's why it's mentioned in the beginning. Then, in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, that when Hashem tells Avram Avinu Lech Lecha, that's already referring to the first stage of progress, which is, as we said earlier, Matan Torah. The Jews receive the Torah. The father puts the child on the bicycle and he says, okay, you've fallen, now you can ride on your own. So we begin our journey after the fall, after the pain and suffering of 2,500 years of humanity being messed up. We're ready to start what we call Tikkun HaOlam, the fixing of the world. Well, that happened. So in Avram Avinu's life, that takes place 5 years later when Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha. So first of all, Lech Lecha means go. This is already your Avoda. You move from Shleimus to Shleimus, from perfection to perfection. 5 years, he says, the 5 years in between the first promise and the second promise, which the first promise is at the time of creation, corresponds to creation. The second promise corresponds to Matan Torah. The 5 years is corresponding to the pasuk where it says in Bereshis, Yoim HaShishi. So HaShishi, the hay of HaShishi, which we all know, is referring to Matan Torah. As Rashi points out, the reason why it says an extra hay by HaShishi is to say that the world is dependent on that day when we're finally going to catch our balance. We're going to stand upright and receive the Torah. So the hey is referring to that, the acceptance of the Torah of Yom HaShishi. So it's 5 years later. And it's interesting that when Avram Avinu was at that age, by Lech Lecha, it says that's when the 2,000 years of Torah begins. I mentioned it many times in this class, that there is 6,000 years in the world, 2,000 years of chaos, 2,000 years of Torah, meaning 2,000 years when we begin to fix the world, and finally, 2,000 years, Yemaisa Mashiach. Which, as we said, in other words, even though we're almost at the end of those 2,000 years of Yemaisa Mashiach, which means, but we're starting to see already the fruits of our labors of a repaired world, okay? But the 2,000 years of Torah begin with Avram Avinu at the time of Lech Lecha. And that's why, what do you find? That... what does it say right away? That Avram took along with him in his journey. What did he take along? Asa nefesh asher asu b'charan, the people that he converted. Avram was Megayer the men. Sarah was Megayer the woman. Which means that they began to have an effect on the world, which is the effect of Torah and mitzvahs on the world. So that's the second promise. And we see, Taka, that once we received the Torah, where did we go next? We went to Eretz Yisrael to conquer it for the first time. But then, being it was still after a messed up world, we haven't yet fully did the Avodah yet, we're just beginning, we only merited to take the land of seven nations. Then, in the end of the parasha, when we get to Bris Milah, the Bris Milah represents the removal, just like in the physical Bris, it's a removal of the shell of that which is covering the covenant. The Bris is the name of Yudke, the name Yud, is on printed on the body, and the orla, the foreskin, is covering the yud, and the bris milah is the removing of the orla, which means the removing of everything that's blocking the light of Hashem in the world coming through the human being. So that has to be peeled away; it has to be removed, and that ultimate removal of that orla is going to be. We're doing it now, but it's going to be completed when Mashiach comes, and that's when Avram attains a level, which means in general, not just Avram, but Avram together with all of his descendants, the Jewish people, are suddenly elevated to level way, 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 way beyond anything before. From Avram, we become Avraham. And at that time, we take Eretz Yisrael b'shleimusai, in its complete shleimus, and there's no destruction anymore, there's no more suffering, and there's a tikkun hashalom. And that's the final promise in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Now, the interesting thing is, and he says that the significance of Avram being called Avraham is that Avram, this is so beautiful, Avram and his descendants are now a full Markava. We become a full chariot for the divine dwelling, of Hashem to dwell through us, in us, and through us on the world. He says, why? Because the way Hashem manifests, and he says, wait, and finally, what's going to happen in terms of Eretz Yisrael? What is going to happen when we take it now, Be'ezus Hashem, now, mamish, when Eretz Yisrael Mashiach is going to come, and we're going to have Eretz Yisrael, the ultimate Eretz Yisrael, over Eretz Yisrael that we had then, in the time when Shlomo HaMelech is now Eretz Yisrael de Lamata, Eretz Yisrael from below, is going to be connected completely with Yerushalayim Shalmaila, with Yerushalayim of above. like we know that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from above, and it's going to enclose itself in the physical Beis HaMikdash down here below. It's going to be total fusion. So that's the Maila. The lower worlds and the higher worlds are going to be completely aligned with each other, where the higher light is going to come down and is going to fully manifest and fully project and fully project and fully illuminate through the lower Beis HaMikdash, and not just in the Beis HaMikdash, but also in the Jewish people. And that's the significance of our name Avraham. Now let's see why. We know that the way Hashem dwells in the creation is on a throne, and the throne is held up by what's called the Merkava, and the Merkava is held up by the various different Malachim, which represent the supernal beasts, the supernal animals above. And they are four animals. There is the ox, Pnei Shor. There is the Pnei Aryeh, the face of the lion. There is the face of the there is the face of the Nesher, the eagle, and then there's the Pnei Adam, the face of a man. And these are the four supernal beasts that are holding up the Merkava. Now, it says that Yechezkel HaNavi pleaded with Hashem that he doesn't like that in the Merkava there is the ox. He doesn't like the ox, because the ox is always reminding Hashem of the Cheta, the eagle. So he asked Hashem to replace the ox. So Hashem replaced the ox, and he put a kruv, a cherub. The Pnei Kruv, that's why when it's mentioned in the Merkava in Yechezkel, it mentions a kruv, it doesn't mention a shor. That's what Chazal say. So Hashem removed the shor, and he put a kruv. Based on that, now let's take a look, and we will see. What does the name Avraham stand for? So Avraham is Aleph, Beis, Reish, Hey, Mem. Aleph is representing the Ein Sof, God Himself. Aleph, Alufa Shel Olam, that's Hashem Himself. Hashem Himself is now residing on these four beasts. He's coming through. He's being channeled through them. The Seifei Teves, the end letters of these four beasts, are now the same letters as Avraham. Let's see. Kruv is the first one, because remember we said no more Shor, instead we have a Kruv. So the Kruv is a Beis, so that's the Beis of Avraham. Then the next one is the Nesher, the eagle, ends with a Resh. The next one is Aryeh, the lion. The lion ends with a Hey, so that's the Hey of Avraham. Avraham. And finally, the last one is Adam, which ends with a Mem. Anybody ever heard this amazing thing? So what is the name Avraham? Avraham is the Ein Sof, Hashem, residing on the four Kruvim, and through manifesting in this first in the supernal worlds, and then as we said before, the lower world and the higher world. Kigavna the inun misyachtun le'elo be'echad oif hachi yisyachadas le'sato be'echad. There is echad be'echad, everything is unified. As things are unified above, so things are unified below. This total fusion and total attachment. The Jewish people, B'nai Avraham, are bringing the Shechina down into this world. He adds another very fascinating thing. But that happens when? When is that going to manifest? After the cosmic bris milah, which is the when we complete our avodah and the coming of Mashiach, when the esruach hatumah avim in haaretz, the spirit of impurity, that's the arla, is removed, and we have a full manifestation. We also know that that's called merkavas nadiv. I don't know where the original idea of merkavas nadiv comes from, but we know that Avram Avinu was called nadiv. Nadiv means the gracious one, the giver. In Shir HaShirim, the Yidden are referred to as Bas Nadiv, the daughter of Nadiv. And the Pasuk also says, Nadive Amim Nesafu Amalekei Avram, Nadiv. He says an interesting thing. Merkavas Nadiv, I think it's a Pasuk. There is a Merkava related to Nadiv. What is that? That's the Merkava of. Nadiv is, the Nun of Nadiv is, the Nun is the Nesher, the first letter of Nesher. The second letter of Nadiv is a Dalit. That's the second letter of the next of Adam. The way we do this Gemak, the way we do this Rosh HaTevis, is we're doing the first letter from the first beast, the second letter from the second beast, the third letter by the third one, and the fourth letter by the fifth one. So we say the Nadiv. Nadiv is, the Nun is from Nesher. The Dalet is the second letter from Adam. The Yud is, what's the next one? It's Aryeh. It's the third letter of Aryeh. And Nadiv, the fourth one, it is the fourth letter of Kruv. And then you have Nadiv. And that's the Markov. That's a very interesting idea. And the Shlach HaKadosh concludes, and he says, the land that was promised to the Jewish people, just in a beautiful thing, because we have now this Narishkeit with the Palestinians. So he just, it's just an interesting thing that he concludes. And he says, Matna sa'aretz, the land, v'nasati l'chol zarecha achrechas eretz kanan, l'chuzas oylam, it's yours forever. Ki af begula seinu, and even during the time of Golos, eina yerusha v'yeshiva lo umais, it's not a yerusha for the nations. Ki ya'aretz shamama, because the land remained desolate. And only when we will return, it will sprout back to life. And that's why we know. And the Arabs had it; they didn't have it. It was a desolate land. Okay, and it's going to be forever. Here, there's a very interesting Arachayim HaKadosh. Just so very beautiful words. He says on this promise that Hashem promises Avram Avinu, to you I will give the land, Esakeni, right, and I will give the land of the ten. Hina yesh letmaya. It's gewaldig. There is to wonder. Eich toich mereois eneim shalom hamanim laham. This is so comforting right now. He says, how is it covered? How is it like clogged the eyes of the people who are refusing to believe? Bigduloiseinu umaliseinu asida lavoi. In our greatness, in the good days that are coming for Am Yisrael, for the Jewish people. How is it that people that are pessimistic and they're not optimistic about a very bright future? He says, it's clear the Pasuk has promised Avram Avinu to give him the land of 10 nations. Va'ad ata lo imatzinu, we haven't found that Hashem has given only 7 nations. So the promise has never been fulfilled. The promise, Hashem said, I'm going to give 10 nations. Ve'ech yoimru ha'atzamois ha'yaveshois, these are beautiful words. How can the dried out bones, referring to the Jewish people who have been in Arachayim HaKadosh's days, already 16 and a half, 100 years, close to 1700 years in exile, and these dried bones that have become already so fargolist, they become so dried up, how can they say, od of da tikvas nachloseinu, that all we should give up and our hope is lost? Veshvuas Hashem en egdasam, Hashem's promise is standing right over here. And then he adds something else. Oid nasati libi, another thing I've placed my heart, the holy heart of the Arachayim HaKadosh. You see an interesting thing. Not only is there a promise that Hashem is promising the land of 10 nations, but he puts first, ki higdim hakeni knizi and kadmoini. He puts the keni, knizi and kadmoini, which are Amon, Moav, and Edom, before the other. It should have first said, because the order of which we took the land was first the 7. Moisa Mashiach, we're going to have all 10. So if that's the case, it should have put Keini, Knizi, Kadmaini after everything. But it puts them first. He says, why it's not correct to put the latter first? Hashem purposely did that to show you and to teach you that the giving of the land that we had Eretz Yisrael in the past, that was just a preview. That was not the real thing. The real giving of Eretz Yisrael is going to be the giving that Hashem is going to give us Mao Mamish, that's happening in front of our eyes. This struggle that we're struggling right now, that Nabach so many Yidden had given their lives for, and the land, the giving of the other 7, is like a tuffle, is like a secondary thing to it. Once we have these 3, we're going to get the 4th one already, automatically. And he gives even a simon to that. He says, when Avram Avinu fought against the 4 kings, the first 3 kings that are mentioned are these 3 nations. Keni, Knizi, Kadmoini. Edom, Amon, and Moav. The 4th one, Sidal, Melech, Goyim, is the 4th one. That represents the other 7 nations, which are just going to be attached to these 3. So, which means that the whole Eretz Yisrael the promise wasn't even fulfilled even a tiny bit, because the main promise was the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini. This is just a very powerful, comforting idea that Aruch Haim HaKadosh says. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this idea that initially the Jewish people only took the land of seven, and then, Be'ezras Hashem, Be'karev Mamish, we are going to take the land of the land of ten. Why? Oops. Okay, Reuven Wolf, I'm back again. I'm sorry. This has happened sometime, some disconnect. Okay, so here we are. Now, I want to explain a little bit the significance of these three nations, of why these three were not by us before, and they will be by us when Mashiach comes. There's a fascinating mimer that was initially said by the Mittler Rebbe. He said it in front of Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's interesting, a very interesting mimer. The fact that the Mittler Rebbe said a mimer in front of Rabbi Akiva Eger, Akiva was the great Goinim, not necessarily from the Hasidim, and not known to have been an opponent of Hasidus. His son was, but he wasn't known. But yet, the Mittler Rebbe somehow was in Posen, whatever, and met Rabbi Akiva Eger, and he said a long a mimer on the Pasuk Al Tatzar Esmoyav. When you learn the mimer, it's very interesting to me, because Chassidus, you have to have some hagdamas to be able to learn it. It's like to take someone right away into the middle of. Rabbi Akiva Eger was known to be a goyan oilam, a genius of geniuses. But you have to say that he probably had a big knowledge in Kabbalah as well, in Torah Sanistar. Or else I couldn't believe that the Mittler Rebbe would share such a. Basically, what I'm saying is it's not a beginner's mimer. And it doesn't make a difference if the person can be a genius from today till tomorrow. A person has to have some fundamental ideas in Kabbalah before. So you have to say, L'chaira, that Rabbi Akiva Eger was had enough knowledge in Kabbalah, even though I don't think there's anything from him in the Nistar side that he should even be able to listen, hear this mimer. In any case, over there, the Mittler Rebbe talks about this idea. And he says, what's the idea? So he explains it Kabbalistically, and he says a very interesting idea. He says that we know that the Yidden conquering Eretz Yisrael, you see, Bechlau, the Jewish people, are heavenly people. The reason why the world doesn't accept us, and we see it today, we see with all the coverage, no matter how gentle and fear and restrained we are, we're always going to be blamed, and we're always going to be accused. The world does not accept us. The reason for that is because Yidden are essentially not part of this world. We are from above the world. We are planted in this world to fix the world. Now, this is related to a Kabbalistic concept, and that's the idea of what we call Shviras HaKelim, the shattering of the vessels. This world was created from the debris, from the fallen sparks, from the debris of those shattered vessels. Our neshamas are not part of that breakage. We come from a world of tikkun. We're not in that breakage. That's why we're not part of this mess. Yidden come into this world to fix the mess. As a result of that, that avoid is through Torah mitzvahs, but it has to be in the physical, because that's where the mess is. That's where the main nitzutzei kedusha are. You know, that's what we have to fix. And it has to be that we take. Why do we have to be conquerors? This is really the question. I mean, what's the accusation? Why are the Jews looked upon and frowned upon and disliked, at least now, in the last whatever? Zionists, people look at the Jews as Zionists, occupiers. Those who are stealing land. We stole the land from the Palestinians. Rashi mentions that in the first Rashi in the Torah, that the nations are going to say, thieves, you are thieves, you have stolen the land. What What does this mean? Why did the Eibishter do it that way? And sometimes there are even Jews, and even sometimes even from Jews, that become uncomfortable. Are we taking land away from the innocent Palestinians? And why? So why does the Eibishter make it that way? And the answer is because the whole inyan is that we come into a world of klippa, a world of impurity, a world that denies God. So it has to belong to someone else. It has to belong to the klippa. And it's not really that the klippa is, it really belongs to Hashem, but Rashi says that about Eretz Yisrael, that initially it was given to shame, then the B'nai Cham came and stole it, and now we're conquering it back. So that's also, of course, the Eibishter owns the world. But the way the world appears because of the Shviris HaKelim and the shattering of the vessels is that it seems to belong to the Sitra Achra. It seems to belong to the other side. But our Avoda is to take it back and convert it into a holy land. So where do we accomplish that? That's why it was absolutely incumbent. The Jews couldn't remain in the desert and do Torah Mitzvah. They had to come into the land. And which land did they have to come into? Eretz Yisrael. Because the main tikkun and bitter to Olam, the place from where we fix the main factory of fixing, if we can say, the repair factory, the auto body shop, if you might say, in which we are repairing the world, is the land of the seven nations, because the land of the seven nations is the root of all the other 70 nations. They're all rooted. Seven is the root of the 70. So that's what we do our tikkun. Kabbalistically, why Dafka the land of seven? So it explains, because we know that Hashem creates the world through 10 spheres. And so there's 10 attributes. Three of them are intellectual attributes, and then three moichin, and there are seven midos, seven emotional attributes. Now, the world of Tayu, that shviras hakelim, that shattering of the vessels that preceded the world of Tikkun, that ancient world of Tayu that collapsed, also emanated with 10 spheres. The shattering of the vessels happened in the seven lower emotions. The chesed was broken, kindness was broken, gevura, severity was broken. And what does that translate? That translates into a world filled with corrupted and misguided emotions. So all the evil, corruption that's done in the world is all coming from an energy of an emotion. It's an excitement. The Arabs are now incited with a hatred, with animosity, with a killing, with a murderous energy. That's gevura. That's misguided gevura, right? And the rest of the other half of the world is misguided with a misappropriate love. Take a look. The other thing we're suffering now from is this proliferation of misguided love, the whole collapse of marriage, and of all the other forms of perversion that has become kind of legalized even here in America. And even, you know, sadly, in the Holy Land too. So this is the corruption of Ava, the corruption of love, perverted love. It lost its, and that's the energy of all evil that's in the world, from Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. All seven of them need to be corrected. So that correction is done. Of the seven emotions, are in the land of the seven. But then there's another three lands, and they are Edom, Ammon, and Moab. They are rooted in the Chabad of the world of Tayu. In the world of Tayu, it's the three upper spherot, which are Chachma, Bina, and Keser, Kachab. For whatever reason, Das is not counted over there, because we know that when Keser is counted, Das is not counted. So, and I guess in Olam HaTikun you count more Das, but in Olam HaTohu, it's Keser, Chachma, Bina. Now we know, he says in Kabbalah from the Arizal, that the Shviras HaKelem happened mainly in the seven midos, not in the Moichin. That's why our Tikkun is in the land of seven. That's where we do our work, our rectification, our purification. That's how we sublimate and elevate all of the world, fixing the world on an energy level. However, there is a, if so, if there's no collapse in the Keser Chachma Bina, so how is it that there is Ammon and Moab and Edom, which, as we said before, they are deriving their energy from the Keser Chachma Bina? How do they derive their energy if there's no collapse, if it's Kula Kedusha? And the answer is, there was some kind of a Shvira in Chachma and Bina of Klipa as well, but it was only in the Chitzonius, it was only in the back of it. in the hind of it. Chochma and Bina only collapsed the back of it. The pnimius of it never fell. The Chesed Gvur Teferes, the emotions completely disintegrated, fell down, collapsed, or shattered. The breakage was thorough. In Chachma and Bina, it was a lesser fall. It was a mochitzainius de galal. That's why we find, the Mittler Rebbe says, Tzemach Tzedek explains it also, that the you have Chachmas chitzainis. We have the secular sciences and disciplines, which are klipa. And the Alter Rebbe says that they're very damaging to a person when a person studies them. Besides, if you're a tzaddik and you know how to use them in the right way, but they can be very corruptive, because there is a shvira, but it's not the same kind of a shvira, a breakage like in the emotions. Now, and the Arizal says that these klippas are very hard to fix. Keser chachma bina. On the one hand, it's only a chitzonius to get breakage. Now, let me say something. I forgot one thing. In chachma bina, there is a break. There is a shvira in the chitzanius and the external part of it. In keser, there isn't a break, even in the chitzanius. There isn't a pagam. There isn't a blemish. He says there is a bittel. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't have any explanation. I just saw this today. It's a bittel, but not a pagam. So in the midos, there is a full shvira. In the chachma and bina, there is a pagam, and in keser, there is a bittel, meaning a withdrawal. From this is where these three nations derive their energy. Adam. Now let me just connect them to Keser, Chachma, and Bina. Let's look at their names. Amon comes from the word Noam. If you take the word Amon, which is one of the children of Lot, right, and we switch it around, you get the word Noam. Noam means pleasure, delight. So that corresponds to Bina, because Bina is a place of ne'imus, pleasure. Because when you understand something thoroughly, it brings a great pleasure. It brings a great sensation of delight. So Bina is the place when a person has a rich understanding, it fills you with pleasure. So Amoin is Bina of the Sitra Achra, Bina of Klippa. Mo'av is clear. Mo'av from father. Chachma is called father. Edom is corresponding to the keser of klipa, and how it's hinted to in the word, I don't know. Aleph dam, maybe, I'm not sure. I haven't seen that. Now let's relate them to their names that are given in the Torah. The Torah over here doesn't refer to them as Amon, Moav, and Edom, but rather Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni. So Keni is Bina, is Amon. The reason why they're called Keni is because, I saw from this is from the Bnei Yisachar, explains it this way, is because Kain means Kan. Kan means a nest. Bina is a nest. As we know, Bina is called Eim HaBanim. The mother rests on her children. It says, Ki Yakare Kan Tzipo. When you find the nest of a bird, is Kabbalistically related to Bina. Kan is the nest. So Keni is the klipa of Kan. Knizi is rearrange the letters. You get the word Zakein. Zakein. Zakein is Chachma. Because Chazal say that Zakein, it says by Zakein means Zeshekana Chachma, the one who acquired the wisdom. Zakein is Chachma. That's why the Alter Rebbe, who is also the, I saw in the Lakuti Levi Yitzchak, the Alter Rebbe, who is the Chachma of Kedusha, is called Admor HaZakein, which is Chachma. Finally, Kadmoini comes from the word kedem, that which is ancient, and that's keser, because keser is called Ur Kadmon. So, and that's why Edom is very powerful, because they're rooted in keser. The Arizal says that these are very, very, very hard. The klippas of them are very subtle, and they're very hard to fix. That's why it's not our job to fix them. We work only with the seven midos. But here's what happens. After we finish the rectification of the seven midos, we do a bitter in the world of the seven midos, then there is in his galos automatically of the three higher, of the keser, chachma, bina, das, they kind of fall into place on their own without needing. I mean, I guess it seems from the Mittler Rebbe's Maimer that there is some kind of an avoda in trying to fix them. That's why the word tzaddikim, like the Alter Rebbe brings, that the Rambam, Maimonides, and the Ramban, Nachmanides, were involved in Chachmas Chitzaynes in sciences in order to fix them. He brings over there that Yosef HaTzadik was the first one who began the tikkun of Chachma of Klipa. That's why it says Uzekein of Yachkam, because he was the one who dealt with the sorcerers, the great scientists of Egypt. That's where the Chachma was. It was in Egypt. Yosef HaTzadik was with them. The completion of the tikkun of this to some degree was by Shlomo HaMelech, who was Vayachka Mikol Adam. And it's interesting, and who came to him? It says Vayavoyu, and they came to him, Shtei Nashem Zaynais, two prostitutes came to him. And according to Hasidus and Kabbalah, and remember they had a fight about the baby, and he cut the baby, and he said, well, let's cut the baby in half. These two women are the two, is Chachma and Bina of Klipa. That's Amon and Moav of Klipa. That were Nizbarer, that had a tikkun when they came through Shlomo HaMelech. Because he was Mesakein, the Chachma of the other side, to a certain degree, whatever it's possible. But the ultimate tikkun will only be after we finish the rectification of the emotions. Then comes automatically. That's why now we only have the land of seven nations. When Mashiach will come, we're going to have another three nations, which is Amon, Moav, and Edom, which represents the Mochen, the Hizgalos of the Mochen. When that is going to be revealed, it's way above anything, any Kedusha we've ever had before. I just want to conclude with one little thought, and I think I mentioned this because I have more to talk about this, but we don't have time today, so we'll finish this in the next class. But I do want to say that this, and I think I mentioned this earlier, the fact that the Syrians are all migrating and they're leaving Syria. And so a story that was like reported before Rosh Hashanah, the thought that occurred to me is because since Syria is part of this expanded land that the Eibishter promised after Mashiach comes, so that's why they're moving out and vacating now, because instead of Mashiach having to drive them out, they're now making space for the Yidden to come in and take their land. And as I mentioned over here, it's in my Monday's class, and I think I mentioned to you earlier, it's interesting that they're going to Germany, because in Sefer Avadia, in the conclusion of Avadia, in the Radak and the Evin Ezra, you can look it up, the Evin Ezra says clearly, and the Radak, that the people, the Germans are the Canaanim who left Canaan when Yeshua came in. So they were the ones who ran away from Canaan when the Jews came in the first time. So it makes sense that now when the other Canaanim kind of are leaving their area, they're also going to Germany. And the Jews will be coming back to Israel to take that greater land. And the Kedusha that is going to be revealed in those countries is going to enhance the holiness in the world like beyond, beyond, beyond. As we will see, Be'ezus Hashem, the coming of Mashiach, may it happen. Take it from Yad. And Be'ezus Hashem, next week in Yerushalayim, Shia, we're going to add more to this idea of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini. Okay, everyone have a really good bench of the week, and we should have Mashiach now.